So the last several weeks I've been preaching from the book of Acts, and we come this week to chapter 10, one of the, I think, pivotal stories in the book of Acts. It's a story that you may or may not be familiar with, but the basics are, it's a long story, the basics are there's a man named Cornelius, a Roman officer, centurion, over 100 men, who's a God-fearing man, but not a Jew, clearly not, a Gentile, a non-Jew, a Roman, who has an angel appear to him and tells him to send to Joppa to the house of Simon the Tanner and ask for a man named Simon Peter to come and speak to you. So he sends off messengers to a 2 days' walk away to Joppa. Meanwhile, in Joppa, Simon Peter, the leader of the early church, Peter, is at the house of Simon, the tanner, and he goes up on the roof to pray, as many of those homes had a nice flat roof where you could get some space to yourself, and he's praying, and he has this vision, this sheet thing comes down full of all these animals, all these creatures, none of which were creatures that any good Jew would ever, ever eat. They were not kosher. And the voice says, take and eat. And Simon, I think, probably figured it was a test. And he was like, no, Lord, I've never eaten anything that's unclean or profane. And the voice says again, take and eat. And he says, of course not. Really? I'm a good Jew. I wouldn't eat that weird stuff. And again, take and eat. And what God has said is clean, you should never say is unclean or profane. Three times. And then the sheet disappears. And Simon comes out of this trance vision and goes, what was that? And just about that time, Cornelius's messengers show up knocking at the door. We're looking for Simon Peter. Is he here? Simon, the light starts coming on, and he goes, he says, what is it you want? And Cornelius, our officer, once has had this vision of an angel and was told to send for you. And I think Peter starts going, okay, what's happening? So he invites them in. That was radical right there, right? He invited these Gentiles into this Jewish home to eat, and then the next day they go off, and they walk to They make the journey to Caesarea, to Cornelius' home. And again, there, Peter takes a step. He goes into this Gentile's home, which was forbidden. And Cornelius falls down like he's going to worship him. And Peter's like, no. I'm just a human being. Get up. And what's going on? And so Cornelius tells him about the message from the angel. And then Peter says, truly I understand that God shows no partiality, but in every people, anyone who fears God and practices righteousness is acceptable to God. Now you know the message God sent to the people of Israel, preaching peace through Jesus Christ. Jesus is Lord of all. That message has spread throughout Judea, beginning in Galilee, after the baptism that John announced. God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power. He went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. We are witnesses to all that Jesus did, both in Judea and in Jerusalem. They put him to death by hanging him on a tree, but God raised him on the third day and allowed him to appear, not to all people, but to us who were chosen by God as witnesses and who ate and drank with him after he rose from the dead. And he goes on preaching the good news of Jesus Christ. And then while Peter was still speaking, the Holy Spirit fell upon all who heard his words. And the circumcised believers, the Jewish believers who had come with Peter, were astonished that the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out here even on these Gentiles. for they heard them speaking in tongues and praising God. And Peter said, "Can anyone withhold the water of baptizing these people who have already received the Holy Spirit just as we did?" So he ordered for them to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. And then he stayed longer with them for several days. This is, I believe, the critical turning point in the book of Acts. We've had the response of some Samaritans. We've had Philip with that experience with the Ethiopian. But this is Simon Peter, the head, lead disciple, the leader of the church in Jerusalem. And the Spirit comes to this Gentile, comes to Peter, brings them together, along with other witnesses. It's not just Philip's word about some Ethiopian. This whole group of Jewish believers in Jesus have this powerful experience of having these non-Jews receive the Holy Spirit. And again, it's interesting how the question is phrased. Just like the Ethiopian had said to Philip, "What's to prevent me from being baptized?" Peter's question is, how could we withhold the water of baptism when the Spirit has already baptized them? Truly, God shows no partiality. God has no favorites. What a radical realization for those first century Jewish followers of Jesus. People who for generations have been told and understood their identity as God's chosen people, God's favorites. In the midst of all the oppression, all the struggles of the Jewish people, they had held on to this. God, we are God's chosen. And we will see throughout the New Testament how they wrestle with what to do with this new understanding. And they struggle with, do these Gentiles, non-Jews, have to start keeping kosher? And do they, dietary laws? And do they have to get circumcised? And do they have to convert to be Jewish in order to be followers of Jesus? It's a struggle. But the message of the Spirit of Christ is no favorites. All can belong. All you have to do is respond. All you have to do is be open. Now let's recognize the danger that's here, even in this text, because Peter says, if you believe in Jesus Christ, then you can belong. And the church, being human, we human beings have consistently over the last 2,000 years continued to set up barriers and boundaries and rules about what you have to believe and how you have to act and what you have to do, have to say the right prayer or do the whatever, in order to be accepted. It's a tension. I mean, we're not going to, even as liberal as we are, we're not going to say that absolutely any non-ethical or unethical behavior is fine, are we? Right? So there's still that tension, and yet the radical, radical message, no favorites. God is here for everyone, and that the Spirit is working to bring people in ways we cannot understand. This past year, a woman showed up in our interfaith clergy, leaders group that meets once a month. Her name, so fittingly, is Evangeline. And Evangeline has no real church Christian kind of background. And she said about 8 years ago, she had these intense spiritual awakening. Started having these powerful spiritual experiences that she really didn't have much context to explain or understand. And so she began seeking, trying to make sense of it. And she's still on that journey. But over the last 3 or 4 years, her increasing sense is that somehow she's supposed to start a church. Now, she says the nun up in Trumansburg that she's gotten to be friends with has said to her, "Well, if you're going to start a church, you got to figure out what you believe about Jesus." And Evangeline's like, I'm still trying to figure out. I'm not quite sure what I believe about Jesus. A lot of what I've heard about Jesus, I really don't know what to do with. And I confess, when I first heard her, I was like, right? I'm a little skeptical. And yet, the more I get to know her, something is happening in her life. The Spirit is working in her life. God has a purpose for her. And whether it will be something we would recognize as church is not really the point, perhaps. She has incredible gifts to share with people. I think to share with people for whom church and Jesus are such barriers. Christianity has done a pretty good job at creating so many barriers and so much baggage for many, many people. But Evangeline, with her little 3 acres up there in Odessa and that old farmhouse we visited the other week, our group, she says the land has told her its name is Place of Peace. And she's picked out the spot where she thinks she's supposed to build a little chapel. Who knows what's going to happen with Evangeline at the Place of Peace? The Spirit is not constrained by our institutional boundaries or our orthodoxies. The Spirit of Christ is at work to bring people into love and wholeness. This week we will be celebrating Independence Day, the 4th of July. And I believe that there are foundational understandings grounded in these New Testament scriptures and going back even further to the creation story that are important, essential to our understanding, our modern notions of what it means to be a democracy, right? It's there in the Declaration of Independence. All men are created equal, endowed by their creator with certain inalienable rights. Jan Butler shared with me an email from an organization she's been getting emails from, Faithful America, that was challenging preachers to preach this week or next on Christian nationalism. And so as I thought about this story and that phenomenon, I wanted to try to say a few words because I think it's fundamentally connected. If God has no favorites, if all of us were created in the image of God, if there is something of the light of God in absolutely every human being, and if we can admit that Christianity as an institutional phenomena does not in any way capture the fullness of the work of God's Spirit, then Christian nationalism is a heresy. It's not Christian, and it is a political ideology. It is not a religious movement. And yet it is using Christian symbols, Christian language, Christian leaders, and Christian churches to promote a political ideology. Let's admit that when those Declaration of Independence was written and when those founders wrote the Constitution and they said all are created equal, all men, they meant all white men who own property. Right? They had no, let's admit it. How many of you in this room are a white male who owns property? Raise your hand. You're the only ones they were talking about. The rest of us, they did not have in mind or have any desire to include. And these conservatives, including on the Supreme Court, who claim to be constitutional originalists, don't want to go quite that far because some of them would be out. So again, that human tendency try to define the rules based on who what leaves me in, but the people I don't like left out. Right? It took until the Voting Rights Act of 1965 to begin to finally bring into law, fully, all people created equal in this country, all had the equal right to vote. It has still never been fully implemented, and there are people who have been hard at work ever since trying to undo it, and they're doing really well lately, trying to limit who can actually exercise their freedom, their rights as citizens. Christian nationalism is trying to promote a view that is racist, that is sexist, that defines Christianity in incredibly narrow, rigid ways, and that justifies using even force and violence to promote its opinions, its political views. And so I do think it's important that we who claim to be Christian find our ways to stand against it, to speak against it, to say, this is not who we are, and we are Christian. And you don't get to tell me how to be a Christian. You don't get to tell me that if I don't believe like you, then I'm not Christian. And yet that's what's happening. That is happening. And again, that it's being used for political reasons. It's not being used to bring people closer to God. It's not being used to help people learn how to love and care for each other. It's being used, the new term I hadn't heard till the last month is called American Dominionism. You heard that one? Christian Dominionism. The idea that Christians are supposed to try to dominate all different forms of government and society, education, politics, everything, in order to enforce the right Christian so-called views. God has no favorites. God loves us all. God loves that person sitting south of the border trying to figure out what they're going to do with their lives, who are desperate, who want asylum but can't get it, who are afraid to be forced to go back home. God loves us all. God loves the trans person, the gay person who's being discriminated against. God loves the young women who are struggling because they think they need to have an abortion, and some white male in a legislature thinks he has the right to tell them what to do. It's complicated, it's not simple. And we might not agree, all of us, on every single situation. That's the point. Individuals need to have freedom and autonomy and be respected and given dignity and the right to shape their own lives. And people need to be loved and supported equally. Equal access to health care, equal access to good education, equal access to decent housing. Equal right to vote. What is happening right now in our country is deeply concerning. It's not new. It is the continuation of certain forces that have been active for a long time, but they are very powerful right now. And I'm going to dare to say this, and you know this is just my opinion, so just take it at that. But when Scott Peck's book, People of the Lie, there are people right now, we watch them, we hear them, there are people lying and lying and lying in order to gain power and manipulate other people. And we have to say what we see. Not in a proud, arrogant, I've got it all figured out way. But in a way that says, this is false, this is lie, this is hurtful, this is destructive. We as First Baptist, Judd said it right, we as First Baptists move very, very, very slowly to ever take anything that might remotely be called political position. That's the separation of church and state. And I, as a pastor, am not telling you what to think or how to vote, but we are American citizens and we are Christian people. And we are being called to find whatever ways we can to raise our voices and exercise our power that we have. So on this week, when we celebrate our country, God doesn't love Americans any more than anybody else. America's a good democratic, it has been a good democratic experiment. It's not the only way to be a democracy. And democracy's not the only way to have a government. American exceptionalism is also an arrogant lie. So let us support each other in finding whatever ways we can to keep on saying, to keep on standing up and working for a place, a country, that supports the belief we are all equal, we are all loved, we are all God's favorites.